Ramsey TV.
Picking up where I left off yesterday, I'm in a storytelling mood, so I'm going to tell you another tale today. It's not a tall tale. It's kind of a short tale. It's a true tale, and it has to do with Israel and the message of the circumcision. Whether or not people today, there are people today who believe in the circumcision gospel. You know, I've been into this now for a little bit because I'm in Romans chapter 11. So I'm going to tell you a question I asked James Corum, the president of the Concordant Publishing Concern, in 1993. And I don't think anybody had ever asked him this question. Leave it to a punk from Ohio with the audacity of a child to come up and say, excuse me, Mr. Corum, I get a question for you. Yes, what is it, kid? No, he was a very nice guy. So this is Martin Zender, by the way. You're at MZTV. I'm broadcasting from my kitchen. Yes, that is a sponge back there. It's a dish sponge. I actually use it to wash my dishes on occasion. That's my coffee maker, and that is a boom box, and it booms, and it is a box also. I started listening to James Corum and Dean Huff probably in 1987 or 1988. I was working at the post office, and I had my little cassette recorder, and I'd order cassette tapes from the Concordant Publishing Concern. And the two great teachers from the Concordant Publishing Concern at that time were James Corum and Dean Huff. And I learned a lot from these guys. Before that, back in the early 80s, I was listening to, as I've told you many times, a guy named Ray Prinzing. So I guess it was starting in probably 1979 is when I first got this spark that I want to learn about God. And so the first thing I thought was maybe I should get a Bible. So I went and bought a New American Standard Bible, and I read it three times. And then what did I do? And then I met this girl, and it was in 1982, this girl who would become my wife. And as I told you, her dad, my future father-in-law, introduced me to the Concordant Publishing Concern. This is all preliminary information, very important. You need to know all this. So I become familiar with this, the Concordant Literal New Testament. I recommend everybody get it. When I found out that this Bible had a bunch of literature behind it, I remember looking up the concordant.org, and I found all this material that blew my mind. Just the titles freaked me out. I couldn't believe anybody was writing about this stuff. Like God's Plan of the Eons, 15 Bombs That Sank My Theological Ship, the Deity versus Christ, does Satan have a free will, the outcome of the universe, all these wild titles. I couldn't believe it. So I ordered all this stuff, and I started listening to these two gentlemen, James Corum and Dean Huff. I was listening to them on their cassette tapes. I had my little Walkman. I'm sorry, yes, I had a Walkman. It was 1987. What do you want me to do? That's the way it was. That was the technology of the day, listening to my cassettes. And when I missed something, I had to rewind it. Try to find it. It was primitive. But I loved it. So I'm listening to these guys. Then in 1993, I quit the post office to do what I'm doing now. And it was fall of 1993, and my friend Matt Rohrbeck in Willard, Ohio, he became instrumental in helping me launch this work. Anyway, he said to me, there is a conference coming up in Almont, Michigan. This was November of 93. I had left the post office on October 1st. He goes, we need to go. We need to go to this conference. You get Marsha. I'll get my sister Marion. We'll drive up to Almont, Michigan, because guess what? Jim Corum and Dean Huff are going to be at this conference. They're going to be speaking at the conference. I looked at Matt like he was crazy. And I said, why would anybody want to go to a conference? I swear that's what I said. Because I was such an introverted guy. I didn't realize this, but I was very private. I studied on my own. I listened to these guys on their tapes. And I thought, why would anybody want to go to a conference? Well, we can meet other people. Once again, why would anybody want to meet other people? I honestly couldn't get it. Didn't understand why anybody want to go to a conference. It was weird. That's what I was thinking in 1993. So Matt prevailed. So we bundled up in the car, me and Marcia, Matt and his sister Marion, and we drove up to Elmont, Michigan. What a shock, by the way, when I met James Corum. You know, you listen to people and you get a certain idea of how they are, right? So I'm listening to James Corum on the, he's the president of the Concordant Publishing Concern. By the way, if I hadn't mentioned that, Dean Huff was the editor-in-chief. Anyway, you get a certain picture in your mind of people because I'd never seen a picture of either one of these gentlemen. When I met Jim Corum, it kind of shook my faith a little bit. Jim, if you're watching, I'm sure you'll be amused by this. I pictured this tall, stately, black-haired guy, that just the way he talked, you know, I'm thinking James Corum. That when I met him, I couldn't believe it. It was a short guy, a little bit pudgy. Hi, how you doing? I couldn't believe it was James Corum. Shook my faith. I said, you're not James Corum, are you? You get certain people, certain thing in mind about people. Dean Huff, same way. Picture these guys totally different. Anyway, here's what happened next. You see, I had been studying on my own this chapter of Romans chapter 11. Well, always very interested in the things of Israel. I don't know why. I guess because if you're interested in God, you're interested in the things God is interested in. And from what I could tell, God is very interested in Israel. He started the whole thing all by himself. And he keeps it going. So I was looking at this and I realized as I was studying the material from the Concordant Publishing Concern that I was seeing something different than what they were presenting. And as I told you yesterday, they were presenting this thing where anybody who believes today, anybody who names the name of Jesus Christ today in this era is automatically in the body of Christ. There's no such thing as, according to them, as an Israelite who can believe in the gospel God gave to Abraham. No such thing. Everybody's in the body of Christ. And I puzzled. I asked, I was wondering, well, how could this be? Because I know many people who they love Jesus Christ, they're what you would call saved, but they're not Christians. They're not your run-of-the-mill, nominal Christian. They're actually interested in Israel, and they're like zealous for the kingdom. They love to study the Old Testament, and they're really, really smart on the Old Testament. And when you present Paul to them, they don't get Paul. So I thought, why are we saying these people are in the body of Christ? Because they don't know anything about Paul. They never studied Paul. They kind of treat Paul like, yeah, it's too bad he's in the Bible. Yeah, he kind of screws everything up. But we love, you know, as I've been saying, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the Hebrews, James, and all this. So then I started to study the 10 tribes of Israel. I reviewed this history with you a little bit yesterday. I will do it briefly now. And then I'll tell you the question I asked Jim Corum. And it threw him for a loop because he never even thought of it before. Now, as you know, in the wisdom of God, he split up Israel. It was like a civil war. This happened after the days of Solomon. After the days of Solomon, God split up Israel. And he took 10 tribes to the north into Samaria. And 2 tribes remained in Jerusalem. They became known as the House of Israel and the House of Judah. One king was over the house of Israel was, I think it was Rehoboam, and the king of Judah was Jeroboam. So it was now a split kingdom. I have a theory as to why God did this. Does anybody want to hear it? Does anybody want to hear my theory? Okay, well, this is it. The house of Israel was taken into captivity around 700 B.C., before Judah was taken into captivity into Babylon. The house of Israel, the 10 tribes, were taken into captivity by the king of Assyria. And they never returned. That's the thing. Keep that in mind. Lock it in. Now, the southern tribes, consisting of Judah, Benjamin, and some Levites, because they needed some Levites for the temple service, they, as you know, were exiled to Babylon. They were there for 70 years. They came back. Remember? They came back to Babylon. I mean, from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Cyrus gave that decree. And they came back. Let them go. Here they come. I think, and these were the people that were in the land when Jesus came. Jesus comes in the first century and 10 tribes are scattered all over. I'm going to read that verse to you. Amos 9:9. It's a critical verse, and it has to do with what I asked James Coram. So, by the time Jesus comes to Israel, we have the two tribes, and there are some of the other tribes there, but the vast majority of the northern house, the house of Israel, compared to the house of Judah, they were already gone. Where did they go? Great question. Where did they go? I will tell you where they went momentarily. That's right, today. You're going to find out where they went. So do you remember when the Jews of Jesus' day, the Israelites of Jesus' day, when our Lord was on trial before Pontius Pilate, they said, when Pilate says, "What do you mean? Shall I crucify your king?" They said, "We have no king but Caesar." They said, "Crucify him." And they said, "Ooh," they said a very, very bad thing. They said, "His blood be on us and our children." Ah. Ooh, if they could take that back. They pronounced the anathema on themselves. "His blood be on us and our children." God said, "All right, I'll make note of that. Thank you very much." And from that time forward, those Israel types that were in the land, they've been under a curse because, I'm sorry, they crucified the Son of God. But the 10 tribes that were taken into Assyria that never came back, they're not under that curse. They weren't in the land when our Lord was crucified. God saw to it that there was a big portion of Israel that was taken away and scattered among all the nations of the earth before our Lord came. They're not under the curse. What are they doing now? Let's find out. So I'm thinking about these things. Doesn't everybody? And I'm thinking, okay, only a remnant of the house of Judah was in Jerusalem when our Lord came. The rest of the tribes, 10 tribes, they went, they were taken into captivity. But what happened to them after that? Amos 9:9. Are you ready for this? Amos 9:9. Here it is from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. "For behold, I am instructing, and I will jerk the house of Israel." I swear, this is the literal translation from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. Word for word. Listen to this. "I will jerk the house of Israel," not the house of Judah, the house of Israel, "to and fro among all the nations, just as if jerked to and fro in a sieve." That's the Bible. Jerk the house of Israel, like in a sieve, around all the nations, to and fro among all the nations. Now, what do you think would happen now when the house of Israel is dispersed? Where'd they go? Well, legend has it that they went to the north and to the west. You may have heard of this. It's called the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. There's legends attached to the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. I'm not interested in legends. I'm not interested in theories. I'm interested in facts. And what I just read you is a fact. The 10 northern tribes, centuries before our Lord came to Israel, they were already gone. What did they do? Well, I have to say that what I'm about to say, I don't have a specific scripture for. I just have the scripture that they were scattered among all the nations. But there are many people today who try to trace their ancestry back to the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, because there's theories. I'll just tell you what the theories are. I'm not saying I adhere to them. That they went into, and then they settled Europe. They settled into Great Britain and Germany, Spain. They came to the U.S. In other words, most Europeans are actually descendants from those Lost Ten Tribes. Peoples from Scandinavia, Denmark, like I say, most of Western Europe. And people are trying to, like, trace, people work hard to try to trace it back. Like, the Germanic peoples, where are they from? Are they actually descendants from those lost 10 tribes that were scattered among all the earth? All right, what I'm going to tell you now is me. This is me talking. I've never heard anybody else say this. I don't think you look for, if you're trying to find the lost 10 tribes of Israel, people are work hard over the centuries trying to trace it back. Like, okay, where are these peoples from? What tribe are they from? Did the tribe of Dan settle Denmark? Is that why it's called Denmark? Does it have to do with Dan? They're looking at all these things, Great Britain. Are those the descendants of Benjamin? And all that. I don't do that. This is what I do. If you want to find Israel, do you want to find the lost 10 tribes of Israel? Here's how you do it. This is the Martin Zender patented method for finding the lost 10 tribes. You don't trace their genealogy. What do? You look for the characteristics of Israelites. Because these people are the same down the line. They're the same. I'm sorry, but the scripture says they're a stubborn and stiff-necked people. It's easy to find the lost 10 tribes. This is what you do. You find a people who have the form of devoutness but deny the power. You find a people who want to take the Lord's name, but they take it in vain. That is, they take it for emptiness. You want to find a people who clean the outside of the cup, but inside they're filled with the bones of the dead. You want to find a people who use the name of God for their own profit. You want to find a people who look down there, who have such a high opinion of themselves self-righteously that they look down on all other people. You want to find a people who have the word of God, they have the scriptures, but they misuse it. You want to find a people who turn the rest of the world off of God. As Paul says of Israel in Romans 2, that because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. If you want to find the lost 10 tribes of Israel, you find a self-righteous people who blaspheme the name of God throughout the entire world and yet claim to be the greatest friends of God. You want to find the lost 10 tribes of Israel, you find religious frauds. You find frauds who hold great banquets and great convocations and great rallies. And you find people get onto podiums and say, "Thus saith the Lord," but they're a pack of freaking hypocrites. And they're rich and they make money and they look down their noses at everybody else. That's where you will find the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Where else do they exist? What other thing could I be describing except the Christian religion? The Christian religion are basically the remnants or the substance of the lost 10 tribes of Israel because they have all the characteristics of Israel. They're still carrying the word. Paul says he gives Israel credit. He says, well, they are carrying the word of God. They do have the scriptures. To them was given the word of God. Yeah, and so you got the Gideons putting out the word of God out there. They're the ones doing it. Who else would do this? Israelites are doing it. They've lost their identity. Now we're coming down to the question I asked Jim Corm at what was that restaurant? It was a restaurant in Elmont, Michigan. Lenny Miller's. We were having lunch at Lenny Miller's. I was getting to know these guys, James Corm and Dean Huff. They liked me. I liked them. But I was a little gnat, and I had a little gnat question for them. So I'm thinking of these things, and everybody's chatting, but I don't want to get involved with the chatting. I maneuvered myself next to Jim Corm at lunch, the man himself. And I said, excuse me, Mr. Corm. I said, Jim, I've been thinking for a long time about something. Now, we know that the northern tribes of Israel, after the big split, after the days of Solomon, we know that they were exiled into Samaria and taken captivity by the Assyrians, correct? See, he goes, yes. Yes, that's correct. Okay, now, we also know that from Amos 9:9, and I quoted him, I said Amos 9:9, that we know that the house of Israel was scattered to and fro among every nation on earth, right? Right? He said, yeah. All right, now, I said, now, that means, Jim, that he was trying to eat his French fries, you see. He was trying to get gravy on his mashed potatoes. His steak. I wouldn't let him. I said, no, Pete. I said, because I wasn't interested in eating. That's all I cared about. So would you agree that there could be a guy today living in Iowa? There's a guy living in Iowa right now. Let's say Sioux City, for the sake of argument. This guy, his ancestors came from Europe. Okay, he's trying to eat. I'm irritating the hell out of him. Now, these guys' descendants came from Europe, and the people in Europe were descended from the lost 10 tribes because they were scattered among every nation on earth. But birds of a feather flock together, and we seem to have a large gaggle of religious people on the earth today who are a pack of hypocrites known as Christians. Yes, that's true. So is it possible, Mr. Corm, is it possible that this guy living in Iowa is an actual descendant? Way back, if you could trace it, he's actual Israelite. He doesn't know it, but he's an actual Israelite. James Corm said he stopped eating at that point. It's stuck in the middle of a French fry. He was eating a French fry right in the middle. When I asked that question, is it possible that this guy could be an Israelite? Yes, it is. It is possible. Then I lowered the boom. You know what the boom was? You probably know. Here's the boom. If this guy's an actual Israelite, doesn't know it, has no idea, but God knows, traces him all the way back to... Could it be possible that this guy could be legitimately responding as an Israelite to the circumcision gospel? He has an antenna for it more than anybody because he's a freaking actual Israelite from way back. And so when he hears his gospel, the gospel given to Abraham, that thing called the gospel of the circumcision, could it be that he could be responding to it legitimately because he's a freaking Israelite and he loves it? By this time, the rest of the table was listening. This kid is pretty bold. This kid is challenging the business manager of the Concordant Publishing Concern. See, they've never thought of this because, again, their standard issue teaching is everybody's in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter if they gravitate toward Israel. Doesn't matter. They're just ignorant Paul people. So they're trying to force these square pegs who are leaning toward everything Israel into the round hole of Paul's gospel, cramming them in. It doesn't fit. But it's a natural fit for the Israel gospel. And how much more of a natural fit if these people are literal descendants of Israel, even though they're not identified as such because they don't even know themselves. Because it goes way back, but something in them. They got the blood. They got the Israel blood. And so they're interested in it. I ran this in front of Dean Huff, too, and he said something that I thought was, I won't say, but he said, but they're not doing the things that Israel's supposed to do. They're not doing, of course. When has an Israelite ever done anything that an Israelite's supposed to do? That's proof even more that they're Israelites. In other words, he was trying to make the case that I was wrong, Dean Huff was, by saying, but they're screwing everything up. They're not doing anything right. Of course, yes, they're not doing anything right. That you're proving my point. And they're going to be adjusted during the tribulation. They're going to be woke up. I told you from Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm going to go through that on Monday. I'm going to go through the Valley of Dry Bones from Ezekiel 37. And I'm going to show you how God is going to wake these people up. The Spirit's going to go through the land to all the nations where these people have been scattered like a sieve. And the word, and they're going to all wake up. Right now, they're idiots. They don't know nothing, but they have an instinct that they know that they don't like Paul. They're gravitating toward the circumcision. I'm not saying they're doing anything right. I'm not saying they don't have a temple, of course, but I'm telling you, they're Israelites from way back. And what if God wakes them up? They're going through the tribulation. They're not in the body of Christ. And we're talking about millions of people, talking about the Christians of Western Europe and the U.S., wherever Christians are sold. These people are from the lost 10 tribes of Israel. I wrote an article on this in my newsletter, ZWTF. I will link it down here if you want to read about this. Everything I'm telling you now is in print. There might be 2-3 newsletters I wrote on the Romans series, on Romans chapter 11. I will put those links down here. Read all about it. Read all about it. I asked Jim Corm. He couldn't deny a thing. He said, well, yeah, that's possible. Well, yeah, that's possible. And, well, yes, that is also possible. Then why are we saying that everybody's automatically in the body of Christ? Why are we saying that? I'm putting this out for your consideration. I want you to ruminate about this over the weekend. Read my articles linked below about the remnant of Romans 11. They're alive and well today. Well, they're alive, but they're not well. They're sick. They're sick, but they're poised to be awakened supernaturally by God. Some of them, I believe, are among the 144,000. They don't know it. They don't know nothing because they're Israelites. Of course, they don't know nothing, but God's going to educate them. It's called the New Covenant. And the world is going to marvel when he calls them out of the land. When he comes, he calls them from the north, the south, the east, the west, and he brings his people to Zion. And then will be fulfilled the parable that our Lord gave. He says, I gave a wedding feast, and I called the obvious sons of the kingdom. Those people over there in the Middle East now, they're imposters, they're fakers, they're leftovers, they're leftovers from the house of Judah. They're going to be removed. They're going to be displaced because they're false sons and false daughters. So they're out. And then before the whole world, God is going to call the true people in. I'll give you those verses on Monday from Ezekiel mainly. He's going to call, I think Isaiah, he's going to call the true Israelites in. And the world's going to be dumbfounded because these are Israel. These are Israel. And God's going to go, yeah, they are Israel from way, way back from the lost 10 tribes. In the meantime, they're apostate. They're hypocrites. They have a form of devoutness but deny the power, but they're perfectly set up then, aren't they, to be taken back by God, to be given supernatural power, and to be the inaugurators through the power of God of the new covenant.